And that is a hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this Tuesday, December the 13th, in the year of our Lord 2016. And being a Tuesday, it's Rumination Tuesday, where we look at hymns so you can prepare your children for singing them. And with us is the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. Boy, beautiful hymn, isn't it?
It sure is. Are you going to be singing it this Sunday?
Probably. I haven't picked the hymns yet.
You haven't picked the hymns yet?
No, not for Sunday. Oh. No, I usually pick them Thursday morning.
Oh. And so you're...
When do you pick your hymns?
I pick them on Monday, and the secretary phones the organist to tell him what they are.
Oh, well.
So she can start practicing if she wants.
Well, you must be on top of things. That's great.
No, I have a secretary at Trinity Orchard Farm who's on top of things. She really is very good. We put together all the bulletins yesterday for, I had a service last night, and then we have a service on Wednesday, obviously the Advent service, and then we have another service, two of them on Sunday. All the bulletins are, at least my part is done.
Wow. Boy, you're a pretty busy man these days, I'll tell you.
No, I think the secretary's a pretty busy woman. Not really, really good. O Come, Emmanuel, another hymn by Martin Luther?
No, this is an old, this is an old hymn.
In fact, we don't even know who the author is.
Right. Based on the seven ancient antiphons.
Antiphons?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, they're listed over on the other side of the page.
Yes, they are.
But why don't you go ahead and read the first stanza?
Okay, I'll be happy to. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
So, what is the main point that you would say concerning this?
Well, the main point is, of course, we long for the coming of Emmanuel. Emmanuel is God with us, Jesus.
And yes.
We long for his coming, just as Israel longed for his coming throughout the Old Testament, and we long for his reappearing on the last day.
So this is an excellent Advent hymn because it's about his coming.
Right.
The word Advent come. Explain Emmanuel. Where do we get that word?
Emmanuel is from Isaiah 7:14.
Yep.
And the prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means, and the New Testament explains that, God with us.
Yes.
It means God himself with us.
There are three Hebrew words in Emmanuel,
yes,
which means God with us. The last word, Emmanuel, E-L, that's the name of God.
Right.
But as I'm preaching today, so we're going to leave a little early here at the IC at 10 a.m., and I explained a little bit about every time that God is used in the Hebrew referring to the true God, it's always in the plural. It's not El, but Elohim.
Elohim, yes.
But it's always followed by a singular verb. So that would be like saying, look it, those cats is coming toward us. Well, that would be improper grammar.
Yes.
But when it comes to God, you would think it says the gods is coming toward us.
Right.
But
it's a Trinity. We're talking about the Trinity.
Very good.
Yes.
Yes, Genesis 1, let us make man in our image.
Right.
So it's, you just wonder how the Jews didn't recognize.
How did they not pick up on that?
No. Remember, the New Testament reveals the true meaning of the Old Testament. And you see through a glass darkly until you get to the New Testament. I'll read number 2. O come thou wisdom from on high, who ordereth all things mightily. To us the paths of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. And then rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Now, in my Advent services, I'm doing the Isaiah passage where the name of God is, you know, Mighty God, Everlasting Father.
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace. Tonight I'm doing Everlasting Father.
That's your sermon series?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one, yes.
Yeah, all the various names of him. And wisdom on from high, who orders all things mightily. And that's one of his names, too. Mighty God. What do we mean by mighty?
Well, he is almighty. He's almighty. Omnipotent.
And a lot of people think almighty simply means he can do anything, which he can't.
He can do whatever he wants to do.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, because he binds himself by his promises.
To his promises, that's right.
So he doesn't want to send a Christian to hell, because he's already made a promise that he won't. There's a whole bunch of things God cannot do. In fact,
cannot sin.
Well, no, that's true. But after the flood, what can't he do?
Oh, he's promised that he will never destroy the world by means of water again.
Yes, isn't that interesting? And he even gives a sign to us.
The promise is the rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow. So every time you see a rainbow, that's a sign that the whole world won't come to an end by a flood. In fact, the end of the world will come almost instantaneously. People think that maybe it's going to be a big bomb or a war or something. No, that's way too slow. It's just all of a sudden you're going to be up in the clouds. That may occur prior to our finishing this broadcast today.
That's right. Could come any time.
Yes. So I hope I see you up there.
Well, I sincerely hope so. This is the same, Tom.
Oh, thank you. Well, I know I'm going to be up there.
You're undermining my hope of heaven?
No. I'm just saying, I hope. I don't know where your heart is.
Oh, I see. That's a sure and certain hope, right?
Yes, that's correct.
I got you, yes.
Stanza 3, please.
O come, O Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. That's a verse, a stanza that is not as familiar to us, I think, as some of the others are.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. It's just that one that's not one that I well remember.
Yes. But he came on Mount Sinai to give the law. And remember, cloud and majesty and awe, we get that same picture in Revelation 4, where God is the Ancient of Days, and surrounding him are thunderings and lightnings and such.
Right.
And remember what the people said when they saw that on Mount Sinai?
Yeah. In fact, if I remember right, they said, oh, you talk to us. We don't want God to talk to us. That's,
well said.
That's it's too ominous. It's too scary.
They were totally in fear. In fact, if a person or an animal touched the mountain, they would die instantly.
Right.
So then there was that Exodus 24 where you had the first covenant installed, where the people said, all these things we will do and obey, which lasted up to the golden calf. Didn't last very long.
Yeah.
And Hebrews makes a big deal about how the first covenant failed because the people couldn't keep their side of the promise. So God made a second covenant, which means he only makes the promises.
That's right.
And that first time we hear that is Genesis 3:15.
Yes.
Well, what's said there?
He gives us the promise. He tells Satan, yes, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall crush your head even though you bruise his heel.
And that's referring to the crucifixion.
No. Yeah. Well, exactly. Christ.
Right.
The woman's seed will crush the head of Satan.
And we know Adam and Eve were saved because at first they thought Cain was the Messiah.
Right.
According to Genesis 4, verse 1. But the fact is, he was not the first Messiah. He was the first murderer.
Yes.
So, what we have here is law and gospel. I wonder if we'll get to any gospel here. Would you read stanza 4?
O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, free them from Satan's tyranny, that trust thy mighty power to save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Well, you asked for gospel. You sure got it there, didn't you?
Yes. What's meant by branch of Jesse's tree? Why Jesse?
Well, Jesse was the father of David, and
yep.
And of course, Jesus is descended from Jesse and David.
Yes. And what? In fact, Jesus even says that the purpose he came to earth was to free us from Satan's tyranny.
Yes.
There's a Bible verse even on that. And why is Satan tyrannical over us? What makes us worried?
Well, what? Oh, our sins, of course.
Yes.
And sin, death,
and
the devil's power.
It's just amazing. You ask Christians who aren't well-trained in confirmation, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And many times you hear, I hope so.
It's a sure and certain hope, though,
yeah,
right?
That's what it should
that's
be.
That's right.
That's why I always say, I know so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not
that's
because...
That's the comfort God wants us to have. That's the full comfort of the gospel. No doubts that we can be absolutely certain that heaven is ours through Jesus Christ. That's the comfort that God wants everyone really to have. That's why you know we Christians stress this comfort of the gospel.
Yes, in fact, when talking about this branch of Jesse's tree, that by the mighty power of God to save us and give us victory over the grave. What does that mean? If people die and go to the grave, how's their victory?
Well, because we're raised from the tomb.
Exactly.
We're
exactly.
raised on the last day.
You see, these are all kinds of titles of Jesus. The antiphons, they all start with a different title. O Wisdom, O Adonai, O Root of Jesse, O King of David, O Dayspring, O King of the Nations, and the last one is, O Emmanuel. Well, we have another one, if you would read stanza 5.
O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Key of David, to open up heaven. That's part of our catechism. We talk about it as the keys. What are the keys?
The office of the keys.
Yes. What specifically, what verse did that come about in?
Well, Jesus says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom.
Yes.
Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained.
Now, notice that the keys are not whosoever does good works will be saved, and whoever doesn't will not be saved. The key is really opening heaven on the account of your sins being forgiven. Whereas every other religion in the world, you're saved by your works. I can't think of one where you're not saved by your works.
That's right. They're all. That's the difference between the one God-given faith and all other worldly religions.
Which means Christmas is totally different in the Christian faith than it is in every other faith, because as far as I know, only in Christianity does God do the saving of his people. Without their help, without their cooperation, without any contribution on their part.
It's all his doing.
Yes.
All of it.
In fact, doesn't Hebrews talk about that Jesus is the author and...
the finisher of our faith.
Yes. So how we get this across, I'm not really sure at Christmas, because everybody is thinking about gifts, and they think Christmas is a time to give gifts to the needy. Well, the greatest needy are the poor in spirit.
And the greatest gift is Jesus Christ.
Yes, and what he did on the cross for us. And that's why salvation is free, without cost. That's why we say that we're saved by grace. Unfortunately, even some Christian groups have the idea of grace as a power source from God that they cooperate with in order to be saved. But grace is not a power source from God. He is gracious to us in saving us when we don't deserve it. So when people think about, am I going to heaven? They often think about, do I deserve it? And that's why they get worried. Why?
Because none of us deserve it. Apart from Christ, we're all poor, miserable sinners. We don't deserve anything apart from Christ.
Yes. In fact, in that confession you just did, it says we deserve nothing but
punishment.
Temporal
and eternal punishment.
Yes, temporal and eternal punishment. And that's taken away because Jesus, that's what he did on the cross. He suffered the eternal punishment for us, which is being forsaken by the...
by God.
Yeah, by the Father.
By the Father.
Yeah, yesterday in youth confirmation or Monday, I asked them, you know, the way I ask questions, I can always get wrong answers. I said, did God really forsake Jesus? And all the kids said, no. And I said, that's the answer I wanted. And then they all looked at me, because it's wrong. I said, yep. That God... and this is hard for us to understand, how one person of the Trinity can turn his back on the other person. And then I asked the question, who was the greatest sinner in the world? And most of them got it, Jesus, because he carried all our sins to the cross.
He took the sins of all time and the whole world.
And Corinthians makes very clear that God declared him to be a sinner.
God made him to be sin who knew no sin.
Yes. So that we might be righteous who don't do very much righteousness. This is really important to understand that this is the great exchange where we give God our sins, he gives us his righteousness, his forgiveness. I'll read stanza 6. O come thou day spring from on high and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. So here the metaphor, you know, we've seen wisdom, Lord of might, branch of Jesse, key of David. Now comes day spring. What does that mean?
I think it means the same thing as a son of righteousness arising with healing in his rings. I think that's the same concept there.
In fact, one of the... kids in confirmation asked me, what is meant by the morning star? And I think that's what this is meant. The morning star is Jesus. And the reason you're correct on that, Pastor Smith, is because it says, disperse the gloomy clouds of night.
Right.
So.
And death's dark shadows put to flight.
Exactly.
Disperse death.
So you've got metaphors here where day is due to the light of Jesus, night is the time of Satan. And so to disperse the gloomy clouds of night would mean Satan is always accusing us of our sins.
Right.
Accusing the saints day and night, it says. But now he's been thrown out of heaven, and earth is now his kingdom. But even here... he can do nothing without God's permission.
That's right.
That's really important to understand. So that when Job suffered the things he suffered, it was with God's assent in order to make Job a far better believer than he was at the beginning of the book of Job.
Yeah. The devil can't go one inch further than what God permits him to go.
That's well said. And the devil... you know, is often tricked by God. You know, I mean, why would the devil tempt people to crucify Jesus when you have Psalm 22 talking about him being pierced in hands and feet, Isaiah 53, he's going to be whipped. And by all that, that means our sin, our iniquity is laid on him. Well, why would the devil then tempt anyone to
I
do
don't
that?
Know. I don't know. I've thought, I've wondered the same thing.
Yes.
Didn't he see what was coming?
Actually,
that he would be defeated by the cross.
There are some scholars who say the devil never was aware of those promises. So, like, for instance,
he's not omniscient like God is.
No.
He's not almighty. He's not omniscient. He doesn't, you know, he did try quoting some of the scriptures in his temptation to Jesus, but he doesn't know all of them.
One of the questions I ask, I say, who here has not been tempted by the devil? And nobody puts their hand up. But I do. The odds of being tempted by the devil is really rare.
You mean Satan himself?
Yes. Himself.
His devils, his evil angels and demons, that's much more likely that they do this work, right? Is what you're saying.
Because one of the things that you didn't mention about the devil, he's not only omniscient, he's not omnipresent.
He's not omnipresent, right.
No. So he could be over in China right now, for all I know. The idea of, we got 7 billion people, for him to tempt every one of them personally is really, he's going to go after probably what he considers the mightiest, like Jesus, tempt him. Go ahead with stanza 7.
O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of Peace.
So here we have desire of nations. And why is Jesus the desire of every nation?
Because he's the one and only Savior.
Yes, because they recognize that.
That's right.
That they need freedom from their slavery.
And well, he does bind the nations together in his holy Christian church.
Yes, exactly. You know, Jew, Gentile, no distinction. Preaching Wednesday, what time?
Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Where?
7 p.m. will be our last of the three Advent services at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
And I'm going to be at Trinity Orchard Farm tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And come at 6 because they're having a meal, and you know what it's going to be? Fried chicken.
Oh, wow.
So that's at 6 o'clock for everyone in the St. Charles area or all of St. Louis. Well, we don't have enough room for 800,000 people, but we're pretty close to that. Yes. All right. I'm on my way to preach right now, so we're going to have you hear a little bit more of the hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come. Rejoice, rejoice.
gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.